Bobble Bay Science Podcast. My name is Tyler Bubbles, and welcome back to Easter Sunday, or Resurrection Sunday, for the week of March 31st, 2024. I'm excited to have you here. I'm excited to dig in this week's podcast, and I'm excited. We have made it to the high point of the Christian year. We have made it, and this is such an exciting day. But I will also warn you, there is a crap ton of readings because there's so many different ways that you can handle Easter Sunday. So before we jump into it, we have to look back at last week and the question that we had for last week. The question that we had was, where do we need to appreciate life more? And we had one of our loyal listeners. He's on the older end of life, and I think he had a great insight for us to remember, and that is looking back and appreciating the moment just in general. That there are so many times that we get caught up and get excited about looking forward to things or dreading things, and his comment was, just be in the moment. Appreciate the moment more and more. And I think there's a lot of value to that, and I think especially when we're thinking about what we are going through here in this season, the celebration day here within the church, I think it's something that we should all be thinking about and contemplating. So let's just jump into it here. I got a lot of texts because there is Easter Vigil, which has tons of different options of what we can get into. So we'll do some very quick summations there. We're then also going to have the Resurrection of the Lord text. And then we're also going to have the Easter evening text. So some of these will be very, very fast summations. So let's just jump into it. So one of the Old Testament texts that we can possibly use for Easter Vigil, we'll be starting there, is Genesis chapter 1 verses 1 to chapter 2 verse 4. This is the first creation story, a very familiar text for most people, but walking through the days and what God was creating. Next that goes with that is Psalm 136 verses 1 to 9 and 23 through 26. This is a thanks psalm. This is recognizing God's love going on forever and ever and ever. It's so vast. The steadfast love endures forever, keeps being repeated at the end of the psalm. The next Old Testament text that can be associated with this is Genesis chapter 7, the first five verses, 1 to 5, 11 to 18. Then we go to chapter 8, verses 6 to 18. Then chapter 9, 8 to 13. This is the Lord coming to Moses talking about building the ark and then having the ark and trusting that whole process and how God then did provide for the people on the ark as it cast open and having this covenant that will not happen again like it happened. The psalm that then goes with that is Psalm 46. And this is recognizing the power of God, that God is our refuge and strength and very present as the world and everything around us may feel chaotic, that we still have this refuge in the Lord. The next Old Testament text is Genesis chapter 22, the first 18 verses. This is another fairly familiar text of God coming to Abraham and telling him to sacrifice his son. Basically, they go up a mountain, they're going to commit a sacrifice, they have his son there, God then provides a ram to sacrifice instead of Isaac. The psalm that goes with that is Psalm 16. This then is a psalm of recognizing how the Lord does protect us, the Lord is with us, the Lord is making sure to be around us and provide for us, and that then we need to continue to lay our trust in the Lord and being able to recognize and do that. The next Old Testament text is Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 to 31, and chapter 15, 20 through 21. This is the recognition of we have had the people in Egypt. They finally get released. They come up to the Red Sea. What are we going to do? Moses, lift your staff. We get the parting of the sea. They go across on dry land. The next thing that then happens is that when Moses takes his hands down, the seas fill in, and the Egyptians get tossed in the sea. And this then leads to celebration. And we get in verse 21, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously horse and rider thrown into the sea. The next Old Testament text is Exodus chapter 15, verses 1b to 13 and 17 and 18. This is that continuation of the celebration which we had above, that we are singing and giving thanks and praise for. Look at what the Lord has done. He has taken us and overtaken our enemy. He has tossed them in the sea, has gotten rid of that. The Lord has provided for his people yet again. The next Old Testament text is Isaiah chapter 55, the first 11 verses of it. This is this recognition yet again on how the Lord listens to us and cares for us and is loving toward us, making sure that we are provided for. And so many times that we have had things come against us, but yet the Lord continues to provide and continues to be there for us. The next Old Testament text is Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 through 6. This is this recognition of in putting their trust in the Lord, we do not need to be afraid. We recognize the strength that the Lord has and that it continues to be the salvation that brings us forward. It is the one that lifts up his people and has done it gloriously. The next Old Testament text is from the Apocrypha. It's from Baruch chapter 3 verses 9 to 15 and then chapter 3 verse 32 through chapter 4 verse 4. And this is this recognition of we should be giving God our wisdom. And it's recognizing that when we're walking with the Lord and putting our trust in trusting the wisdom of the Lord, that thus we will be able to recognize that God has this wisdom that's greater than what man will have, and being able to steer us to where God is wanting his people to be. The next Old Testament text is from Proverbs chapter 8, the first 8 verses, 19 to 21, and then chapter 9, verse 4b to 6. And again, this is playing into that same idea of recognizing that the wisdom of God to be able to work with his people is much greater. And in doing that, it's able to steer us toward life, to steer us toward where God is wanting us to be, and be able to steer us and have us grow and flourish. The next text is from Psalms 19, all 14 verses of it. And this is the recognition on how God is in and amongst us all over the place. And it's this recognition that we should, one, recognize it, recognize how God is trying to make this thing pure and wise for us, and that we still then need to be able to healthily fear the Lord, recognizing that we have a God who is in full control. So thus, let's give praise to God. The next Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 to 28. This is recognizing that God is over all of it, that God is over all the nations, and that God is then trying to recognize through our communication that God will rinse us clean, that this is a relationship. This is something that the Spirit is working within us and being able to connect us all the way back to the beginnings of time with the people of God. The next is Psalm 42 and 43, all of it. And this is this recognition on first and foremost how our soul longs for God, that God is continuing to be there and to be give this steadfast love to fill us up, to be able to become the people who God has called us to be, and recognize that when we get cast down, that God does not forget us or lose sight of us, but yet then also this recognition and longing for us to have God dwell within us, to be able to do all these things, to be able to guide us, to be part of our lives, to vindicate us, to lead us in the ways and where God is wanting us to be. The next Old Testament text is from Ezekiel chapter 37, the first 14 verses of it. And this is a recognition of how God has been there from the beginning. It has been there from the dry bones and being able to give us life, and is being giving us the sinews we've talked about at the beginning, the muscle fibers to bring us to life, and recognizing that in that, that we are mere mortals. We are nothing without God being able to put us together. The next is Psalm 43, the verse 12 verses of it, or all of it. And again, it's this recognition of hearing our prayer, hearing the times that we go wrong, and recognizing that God is still going to answer it and be there and fill us up, bringing us out of the pit of despair wherever we are. The next text is Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 to 20. Ringing out shouts and rejoicing, looking at how the Lord has turned away from judging us, that we do not have to fear because we have the Lord, because we have God being with us and taking care of us and being in and amongst us, this recognition on how God is going to continue to steer us where we need to go. The next text is Psalm 98, all 9 verses of it, and this is, we are singing a new song because the victory of what the Lord has done, seeing the steadfast love of God, fulfilling the promises to the house of Israel, that God will continue to bring his people to where they need to be, and he will judge the rest of the world likely. The next text is Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 11. And this is recognizing that we are baptized into Christ, we then are also baptized into his death, and we are united in that death, that sin has no control over us because of what Christ has already done to sin. It no longer has dominion there. We must then consider that we are dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus. The last psalm is Psalm 114, all 8 verses of it. And this is a beautiful psalm, just the recognition reminding us of coming out of Egypt and then people speaking a strange language, going through the history of what God's people have continued to do, and yet how God has continued to be there with them. It's worth a read, just the 8 verses of it. Finally, we get to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, the first 8 verses of it. This is where we have Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, Solomon, bringing spices to anoint him. When they arrive at the tomb, there is no one there. The stone has been rolled away. They enter the tomb. There's a young man dressed in a white robe sitting at the right side, and then they are alarmed. He says to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where you laid him. Go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." They flee the tomb in terror and amazement seized them, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The resurrection of our Lord text. First, we have Acts, which can either be your first reading or second reading, chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. This is a moment where Peter is then talking after the resurrection, and I feel like we kind of need to read a little bit of this section. "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, everyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God is with him. And we all witnessed to all what he had done in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death, hanging on the tree." And then he continues on that now we are here to testify to what Jesus did. The other alternative Old Testament text is from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 to 9. This is recognition that on this high mountain, that the Lord of hosts will have a feast for all people, and it will destroy the boundaries that we have between people and will swallow up death, that God will wipe away tears and disgrace, that God is restoring what he has been longing for, and that we have waited and we will rejoice in that salvation. The psalm that goes with that is Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and 14 through 24. This is repeating off of some of what we heard earlier, but again, that God's steadfast love endures forever, that God has dealt with the enemy, that God continues to bring this righteousness and is using what has been rejected to become the chief cornerstone, that we continue to marvel and rejoice at what the Lord is doing. The other alternative New Testament text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first 11 verses of it. This is this recognition that because of what we have seen, because we have been witnesses to Christ's death, and we have recognized that in the scriptures, and we've gone through all that, then we then become witnesses to be able to continue this message and showing that we have seen this resurrection, we have witnessed these different things, and we continue to pass this along, that this is not Jesus dying in vain. This is not God dying in vain. It was this recognition of restoration, and that we might come to believe through what Christ did. Again, as we discussed, the Acts 10 text can also be used here, but let's then get to the gospel. The other gospel, there's also Mark's gospel can be used here. We just talked about that, but the John gospel. So John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Again, now we have Mary Magdalene going to the tomb. We have Simon Peter and the other disciple racing to be there. When they get there, they find an empty tomb. And Simon Peter went to the tomb, saw the linen wraps laying there, and they are surprised. They must have risen from the dead. They return home. Mary is weeping outside the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus was laying, one at the head, one at the feet. And they respond to her, "Why are you weeping?" And she responds with, "Where have they taken my Lord? I do not know where they have laid him." And she's just questioning and is assuming at one point when it's asked again, "Why are you weeping?" and assuming it's the gardener, "Sir, where have you carried him away? Tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away." And Jesus responds to her, "Mary." She responds with saying, "Teacher," in Hebrew. And in this, that Jesus then says, "I have not fully ascended, so do not touch me yet." But this recognition to go and tell the other disciples what she has seen. Huge moment, because yet again, it's a woman doing this. Finally, we have the Easter evening text. We have Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 to 9. This is that text we just talked about again earlier, that the feast of what the Lord is looking at doing because of the Lord restoring the earth. We have Psalm 114, and again, we had this earlier, this reminder of all the different things that the Lord has been doing for us. The New Testament text then is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6b to 8. I think this is a fun little text. It is talking about baking bread and using old yeast and how you need new yeast to help it leaven if it's not leavening, so rising, that the yeast itself, the bacteria have died. So thus, when you're having a celebration, you don't use the old yeast, you bring the new yeast to be able to have the leavened bread. And finally, the gospel text for this Easter evening is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 49. And this is the story of, you have two men who are walking to a village called Emmaus from Jerusalem, talking about everything that's happened. Jesus appears, but they do not recognize. So he asks what has all been going on. They tell him that there's been this crucifixion and we're wondering who this man is. And they're just astounded by this person not knowing. And they walk through this story and how they've thought that this was a prophet. And they have this whole conversation that, and finally they get to the point where their eyes are open when he breaks bread and he disappears. Then it gets into what we'll be getting into here in the next couple weeks, that Jesus then is with his disciples. They're thinking they're seeing a ghost, but they give him boiled fish to verify that it is him, that the Messiah is there, and he recognizes that the Messiah had to suffer and rise on the third day, and that they are witnesses to all these different things, that that's the fulfillment of what has been promised on high. So, before we jump into how faith and science come together this week, we have to do shameless plugs for Working Preacher. If you have a Jericho Working Preacher, I'd highly recommend it. Between the Sermon Brainwaves podcast or commentaries or discussions, since I'm not an ordained minister, I use them on a weekly basis to help give me some perspective, ideas, and prospects to be able to look at these different texts. So, if you have a Jericho WorkingPreacher.org, I'd highly recommend it. I'd also highly recommend checking out the Revised Common Lectionary coming from Vanderbilt to the new library. I really enjoy how they lay out the text week to week, but there's also art, hymns, liturgical colors, prayers, other readings and devotionals that are there. So if you haven't checked out the Revised Common Lectionary coming from Vanderbilt's Divinity Library, I'd highly recommend that also. I'd also highly recommend checking out the Green Blades Preaching Roundtable and the Green Blades Rising publication. It's a great spot to be able to take into some different ideas on ecological echoes, implications, and urgencies, and being able to look at some different commentaries that be able to look at some scientific discussion. So if you haven't checked that out, and there's a great conference that is coming up in Duluth, Minnesota on April 6th, make sure to check out the links down below talking about the Green Blades Preaching Roundtable and the Green Blades Rising publications. Finally, I'd also highly recommend checking out the Gus Davis Academy for Faith Science and Ethics. And this year for their high school programming, they are How and Why We Sleep, Revelations and Rest, June 15th through the 21st, 2024 at Gus Davis Adolphus College. It's a great, amazing place, especially for high school students. If you're enjoying listening to these podcasts and you're a high school student, I highly recommend checking that out. I have a coupon code and I'll make sure it's also down in the description, but the code is EXTRZA24, and that's good through the end of April for $50 off your registration fee. So I'd highly recommend checking out the Gus Davis Academy for Faith, Science, and Ethics, linked down below. I told you there'd be a lot of readings. There's a lot of information there. But just because there's a lot of things going on, I think also then we can kind of go through this a little bit quicker, I feel like, with some tie-ins. And I think there are two different tie-ins that we can look at this week that I think make a lot of sense. First and foremost, let's talk about something that's coming up actually very soon. And I think it's something that maybe you look at this week or maybe you look at next week. And that is the solar eclipse that is going through the United States. And on April 8th, 2024, we have a solar eclipse. And what is a solar eclipse? That is where the sun gets disrupted its direct beam to Earth by the moon. And this happens about every 18 months. But why this is so significant, as a being a person from the United States, this is going through a major part of the United States this year. And in that, there is a lot of different things that is going on. With the moon passing in front of the sun, over a matter of a few hours, it's slowly happening. This light will slowly and slowly dim, and for 2.5 minutes, there will be complete darkness. I will also give you just some different links with that and things to be able to look at. If you are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they're doing some citizen science at the zoo, which is pretty fun, looking at how different animals are reacting. But again, one of the things that has been looked at with this is that it's very typical for animals to get confused, get kind of all up in their heads where they don't understand, their circadian rhythms get knocked off. There has been lots of different documentation of animals actually thinking that it's going to night and preparing themselves for rest, watching nocturnal creatures actually start to get going because they think it's nighttime, and then suddenly their circadian rhythms are all off because it's changing so quickly. So this whole idea of how, just like what we watch with Jesus here in the Gospels, on how Jesus is dead and the confusion and what we thought everything was, and okay, well, life is returning to what we assumed it was, now life after Jesus, and suddenly, boom, he's alive. What do you mean? The confusion, it very much mimics kind of like what a solar eclipse is. And the final one that I really want to talk about also really quickly, and I think it's worth going into looking at some of the links down below, is the biological miracle of the American wood frog. The American wood frog, what makes it so amazing is that when ice crystals get onto its skin in the fall, it starts this process of taking the uracils, so the urine within the blood, and mixing it with its own blood sugars to create an antifreeze within the body. Because what starts happening is the frog starts freezing from the outside in. But with this antifreeze, it makes sure that the different cells don't lose all the water that it would otherwise lose. And it gets to a point where the heart will actually stop. It flatlines and it is frozen. It is in this state of augmentation, you could put it, this hanging in the balance. And what happens is then, as things freeze, and there's a little bit of question on how exactly this all works, the frog, as the temperatures start to warm, it is taken out of the suspended animation of life and slowly starts reanimating from the inside out and re-comes back to life. It goes from alive to frozen and hanging in the balance to reanimating and becoming a frog again. And if that doesn't remind you of what the resurrection is, I don't know what will. When we assume that this frozen thing, there is no way that you can survive. The heart has stopped. And yet, as spring comes and new life comes, the frog reawakens again to be able to go and do its frog-like things out in the forest as a wood frog. It's quite amazing. And we think about it, this boggles our mind, and even as scientists see what happens and don't fully understand how this all works, it happens. And that, to me, reminds us so much of what Jesus goes through. So much where there's misbelief, doubt, things that doesn't seem to make sense. It's a frozen frog. How the heck can it re-come back to life again? And yet, it's a fundamental part of being able to help the ecosystem continue to go, just like what our faith means to us as Jesus broke and tore the veil and has made it so that we have open communication with God and that we are not dead to sin, but we are alive through Christ. And I think that's the whole point of this. That there are so many times, whether it be the sun getting deflected by the moon and everything's like, what is going on? Our circadian rhythms, everything we've known is suddenly wonky, to suddenly find it, no, the light still comes back. It's not that we are suddenly going into eternal darkness, but no, the light reappears. To where the frog, its heart rate is at zero. It is in frozen animation. And suddenly, the spring comes and it reanimates itself. Jesus coming into our life reanimates our lives. And how often it is easy for us to miss these different things because we get caught up in the confusion, the craziness of what is all going on. That it takes us a moment to recognize where Jesus is walking beside us and talking with us, and all of a sudden, he's breaking bread in front of us, and now we recognize what is going on. So the question I have for you this week is, where do you see the resurrection on a daily basis? Where do you see the resurrection on a daily basis? I think there are certain ways where the sunrise and sunset is a simple way for us to continue to remember that. I think it's seeing these things like frogs and solar eclipses also help in that recognition. I think the trees, the recognition of having life to death to reanimating to life, is these continued reminders of what Easter is, what the resurrection is to us, and what that should mean to all of us in our faith, this recognition on how it's around us all over the place, that things that we assume are dead, coming out of the root of Jesse, suddenly new life comes. How many times I've had a couple different plants that I've thought were dead and I cut something off and I keep giving it water for whatever reason to see what happens, and out of the root, here comes something new. And isn't that what Jesus did for us? What they thought was to kill was suddenly the beginning of something much greater. And I think that's the reminder of what we should be looking for. Looking for these consistent reminders of the resurrection, the consistent reminders of God being with us, God not breaking covenants, and God continuing to do that time and time and time again for us to continue to remember the story again and again and again. So, we'll wrap this up as we always do. I pray God blesses you through your faith and amazes you through science. Happy Easter, happy Resurrection Sunday. I'm looking forward to going through the Easter season with you.